Monday, March 15th, the very first criminal trial ever for a former American president is set to begin, as it stands right now, in Manhattan. The People versus Donald J. Trump. First time in American history, a former U.S. chief executive elected officer is facing a criminal trial. And this very special edition of Political Update here on Atlanta News First from our recording booths in Midtown Atlanta. I'm Tim Darnell, and we are talking today with Andrew Jennings, who is an associate professor of law at Emory University. Professor Jennings, this is historic. It's never happened before. We are recording this a couple of days before trial. But so far, none of the efforts from the 45th president to delay the trial have been successful. So for all intents and purposes, we are a full go for a trial that has never before happened in American history. What is this case all about?
This case is about a number of financial transactions that Mr. Trump engaged in 2016 and subsequently from his election as president, involving hush money payments to an adult actor named Stephanie Clifford, also known by her stage name, Stormy Daniels. The hush money payments were intended to cover up the affair that Mr. Trump had in the early 2000s with Ms. Clifford while he was a married man. This is a story that comes out in the wake of the Access Hollywood video that we're all probably familiar with. And in this case, Trump paid Ms. Clifford for her silence through his attorney, Michael Cohen, and wanted to cover up the fact of these payments, didn't want to perhaps disclose these payments on campaign finance disclosures, for example. And so this case is really all about the falsification and the cover up of the hush money payments to Ms. Clifford. It's the classic case of it's the cover up, not the crime.
Will there actually be a jury trial? Are we looking at several weeks of selecting a jury? What's going to happen on Monday?
Yesterday, Judge Juan Marchand, the presiding judge in this case, issued to the parties his jury questionnaire. And so next Monday, the trial will start with jury selection. And that could be a fairly long process. Justice Marchand has tried to streamline that process. He's worked with his court administrative staff, with court security, with the Secret Service to try to streamline that process as much as possible. But starting next Monday, the judge and the defense and the assistant district attorney will go through a process called voir dire to select a jury of citizens of New York County in New York.
What are some of the pressures on potential jurors in this process? We're all familiar, and we've covered it here in Atlanta News First. We have what is becoming what arguably will be the longest trial in Georgia history with the rapper known as Young Thug and YSL. We're looking at a trial that is going to last through the end of this year by most estimations. What are some of the pressures that the jurors are going to be under in New York?
Well, this trial won't last until the end of the year, but it will last approximately 6 weeks. And so whenever we're talking about being away from your family, your other obligations, your work for 6 weeks, that is a burden on jurors. And the mere fact that being away for 6 weeks from your day-to-day life is a burden won't be enough to excuse potential jurors who might be selected for the jury. So there's that burden that any juror in a longer trial might have, whether it's civil or criminal. This case raises additional sensitivities for jurors. They are jurors who will sit in judgment in the first criminal trial of a former U.S. president. Former U.S. president who has shown that he's willing to make incendiary comments about the judicial process, comments that have subjected judges, court staffs, their families, etc., to death threats, to needing to leave their homes. So this potential for exposure, for threats of violence or actual violence, probably would weigh on the minds of jurors. One way that the court is trying to avoid these problems is to require that jurors be anonymized. They won't be referred to by name. Their names will only be available to defense counsel and certain other parties or those who are helping the parties. Mr. Trump himself will not be given access to their names or their addresses, which is really an incredible prophylactic measure that a court might need to take to protect jurors from a former president of the United States. But these are the unique pressures that these jurors will be under.
When Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg first announced the charges, he was very specific that the city of New York, Manhattan District Attorney, takes record keeping very seriously among large corporations. But, you know, for individuals wondering about why this is so important, isn't this simply a record keeping issue? That's certainly what the former president supporters would say, and they'd also say this is very politically motivated. What are your thoughts on that?
This is a criticism of this case that we hear from a lot of different quarters, including the former president, that isn't this just a record-keeping case? Why are we making the first trial of a former president, the first criminal trial of a former president, over errors or false entries in corporate ledgers or false checks, for example? I think that the assistant district attorney or the district attorney's office or other law enforcement agencies throughout the country would point to record keeping as really being the first step toward committing more substantive, more serious crimes. Record keeping really facilitates in a lot of ways carrying out complex illicit activity. And this was a pretty complex operation to hide these hush money payments and to reimburse the lawyer who made the initial payment over time, disguising those payments to look like they were legal fees as opposed to just reimbursement for hush money payments. But record keeping violations matter because record keeping enables those who want to violate other laws to do so or to conceal the fact that they have violated other laws. And so this is really kind of a gatekeeping sort of offense in which if we don't have false business records being created, those records can't facilitate further criminal activity. And so that's why that's an important statute in New York, a city where there are many complex businesses. There are lots of opportunities for record keeping to perhaps facilitate illegal activity. And that's why this is an important issue and an important enforcement area for the district attorney in New York.
Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg is the locally elected district attorney who brought these charges. The burden is on the state. What does he have to do in court to prove his case?
The statutes that former President Trump has been charged under require proving a few things. First, they must prove that Mr. Trump falsified business records or he caused business records to be falsified. For example, he signed a check that was labeled for legal expenses when he knew that, in fact, it was a reimbursement for hush money payments. Or he caused entries into the Trump Organization's ledgers that falsely reported the nature of payments to Michael Cohen, his lawyer, whom he was reimbursing for making these hush money payments. So first, the district attorney has to prove falsification. It must also prove that that falsification was done with some intent to defraud some person. And because this is a felony charge, under the felony provision of this statute, the district attorney will also need to prove that the falsification with an intent to defraud was meant to carry out or conceal some other crime. For example, violations of campaign finance law, violations of New York election law, violations of New York tax law. So those will be the things that the district attorney will have to prove. And you're exactly right that the burden is on the people. It's on the district attorney to prove those things.
Conversely, what does former President Donald Trump's attorneys have to do to counteract those arguments.
Well, given that the burden is on the people, in theory, the defense needs to do nothing. It needs to put the district attorney to its paces to prove its case. But in theory, the defense needs to do nothing. Now, of course, I would expect that Mr. Trump's attorneys will mount a vigorous defense, will make arguments to rebut the theory that the district attorney is going to present. At this point, we don't really have a clear preview of what the district attorney expects to do in terms of the theories that they're going to present, the overall picture, the story that they want jurors to hear. But as a general matter, we would ex probably expect the defense to poke holes in the evidence that the prosecution will present. For example, Michael Cohen, Mr. Trump's former attorney, estranged former attorney, who went to prison himself in connection with this scandal under federal charges, is going to be the star witness for the people. Mr. Cohen is an admitted liar. He would argue that he lied for Trump, but he's an admitted liar. So we would expect the defense to probably work really hard to undermine his credibility, Mr. Cohen's credibility, in front of the jury. And so that's something that the prosecution will probably be expecting. And so there will be a lot of back and forth over just how credible Mr. Cohen is, because he really is, in a lot of ways, the star witness to the people's case.
We are wrapping up this edition of Political Update, both on YouTube and also on all of our podcast streaming platforms, with Andrew Jennings, Associate Professor of Law at Emory University, talking about the historic case of the people versus Donald J. Trump beginning Monday, April 15th. Final thoughts: what are one or two key issues that we need to be watching for as this case unfolds?
I'll be looking very closely at two elements of this crime, and how the district attorney seeks to prove those elements. First is that any falsification of business records was done with an intent to defraud. I'll be looking to see how the district attorney is going to prove that, and I think we'll probably get some indications during its opening statement. And then second, how the district attorney will prove what theory it will offer as to that third element, the intent to commit or conceal another crime. That's what I'll be looking for in this case. And of course, any trial involving Donald Trump will have some twists and turns as well. So I suspect that there will be some news to break over the next 6 weeks in terms of gag orders or statements Mr. Trump makes outside of the courtroom, or other items that might pop up as well.
We'll continue to have extensive coverage of this historic case, not only in New York, but also as events and developments unfold here in Georgia regarding the criminal indictment of former President Donald Trump. Thanks to Andrew Jennings, Associate Professor of Law at Emory University. And thanks to all of you for watching and listening to this special edition of Political Update on Atlanta News First.